Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we're back. We're going to open the phone lines. Folks out there are listening. If you last night, if you're were listening to the program, and when we had the fellow from the pilot come on to testify, if they cut the station that you were listening to us on, if they cut that part out, give us a call here and let us know. 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. This place is rotten. It's rotten to the core. Kerry Lake exposes waste, fraud, and abuse at USA GM. An opening statement reveals over 20 spies from a hostile nation were busted. Millions in proper payments and quid pro quo. President Trump's U.S. Agency for Global Media senior advisor Kerry Lake testified before the House Foreign Affairs Committee where she exposed the massive abuse and national security threats she's discovered since taking charge of the agency. Democrats began the hearing with a ranking member, Representative Greg Meeks, a Democrat, from attacking the Trump administration, and Lake accusing her of using falsehoods to advance an agenda. And in Lake's opening statement, she outlined her real mission to root out the bias and disinformation, waste, fraud, and abuse, and serious threats to American national security that she discovered. This includes foreign assets from hostile nations being hired to USAGM news organizations and grantees without background checks being given high-level security access based on falsified documents and incomplete background checks, phony names, phony Social Security numbers, Lake told the committee. The Democrats, you know, they're totally corrupt. Whether it's election fraud, whatever it is, they will choose the illegal way. They will choose whatever is illegal, whatever is unlawful, whatever is sinful. They will choose that over doing it the right way. Even if the right way is the easier way to go, they'll choose the wrong way. From 2010 to 2020, the Office of Personnel Management and the Office of the Director of National Intelligence repeatedly flagged severe security failures, but USAGM leadership ignored them. USAGM grantee Radio Free Europe at one point nearly hired more than 20 spies from a nation hostile to America and other organizations such as the Office of Cuba Broadcasting have abused the J-1 visa program to bring foreign and national and national security threats with America. Who do we have?
We have May in New York first.
Let's go to New York with May. Hey, May.
Hi, Pastor Sanders. Just want to let you know I support the ministry. I listen every night on 570 WMCA. God bless you both. It did happen last night, and I was wondering, is it my radio? So I just turned the dial for a quick second, and I was able to pick up a frequency. But that's not the first time that has happened. And everything that you said about maybe they don't want you to hear it, I think you're absolutely right. You're on point with that. And I was just listening. I'm like, when is it going to come back on? And were you aware that it was happening?
I wasn't aware until they were. I was being texted, but I didn't pick it up until right at the very end of the program.
Yeah. I just think it's horrible because I really wanted to hear what he was saying. And by the way, it did happen a couple of weeks ago on some other topic that you were sharing. So it does happen. You're absolutely right, and you're on point.
Well, this is why I needed to know, because what I'm going to do is we're going to look into it, see if we can figure out where it's coming from, who's behind it.
Yes, and I just have a one quick question, Pastor Sanders. How should we be living as a Christian in the light of Christ's return and the rapture? I have a sister in Florida. She's always asking. She can't wait. And I'm thinking, you know, just stay in your Bible. Just stay close to the Lord and read and play. Because it is going to happen. It's going to happen soon. And that's my question. And again, I support the ministry, and I will continue to. And God bless you.
Oh, well, to answer your question, he tells us we are just to continue to tarry, but we're also to keep our eyes on the prize and be aware of the times, the things, the signs of the times all around us. And you're right. That when you think about it, you know, how much worse morally can things get? I mean, today, and you have this, just like we were talking about last night with all of the, you know, with these women aborting their babies and being in the water supply.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
This is, you know, and all those, that is just, but now with AI.
I know,
This adds a major thing. So you wonder how much more is God going to tolerate? You know, remember, he's there ready at any time.
Yes,
I can, you know, you can feel it. It's in the air. You can feel
it. It is. Yeah. And you're right. We're all on the same page. Please pray for me. And the ministry is a blessing. I caught it only about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and I've stuck with it. So you're doing a wonderful job.
We do pray for you. You've supported the ministry. Everyone that sends in any kind of support, we take and we pray for that person by name. We have
wonderful. I'll write my prayer request. And how can I get some Bible tracts?
Well, we have a whole lot of those. Just ask when you write. Just ask for them, and we'll send it to them.
Okay, but, and I'm going to include some stamps to help you out too.
That'll work. Yeah, we need some. A real clear address. A lot of times people... They just
thank
leave
you,
just...
Pastor Sanders.
Well, God bless you. Thank you so much.
And God bless you. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. What a wonderful lady. Who do we have next?
Next we have Janice in Minnesota.
Let's go out to Janice in Minnesota. Hey, Janice.
Hey, Pastor. Thank you so much for your radio show. I've been listening now for 2 or 3 years, and I'm so grateful that you're on the radio bringing all this information to everyone. We really need to stay informed, and well, I've got my radio on, so anyway, I wanted to thank you so much for your ministry. And I've supported you in the past, and I will continue to do so as I'm able to, because I'm over 75 now and on Social Security, so it's hard for me to, do a lot, but I do what I can. So,
well, we appreciate that. You take care of Janet and send us your prayer requests, because, like I said, all of those that support us, we get their prayer requests. And, you know, and I'm amazed by how many people don't give us, you know, there's no return address. They'll send sometimes cash, or they'll send a money order with no name on it, you know, a postal order, and but no name on it. They don't want us to, you know, we can't pray for them, you know, unless we have a name. I guess God would know who they are, but that's
I'm packing up my house here in Minnesota, and I was born and raised in Wisconsin, so I'm either going to go back to Wisconsin or somewhere else where I'm needed. I still want to do, you know, some work. I'd like to be able to help you guys out. If I would live close to you, I could help you out with, you know, with mailings or whatever.
You would probably love our church. You would probably love it up here because you sound like the kind of lady that would fit right in. And we never, ever have a boring day. Never have a boring day. There's always something. We're very active in all the different ministries.
Yeah.
And so you wouldn't, you would definitely not be bored if you showed up around here. But
I'd like to make a trip down there. It was funny, when I was a kid, my mom, we drove down to Ohio. I don't know why my parents did that. There was something drawing my mother down there to your neck of the woods there. And, you know, and I always wondered what that was. And then when I started listening to your radio, it's like, oh, that's the connection, I think.
Yeah, you know, it is here because we're in a very, very conservative part, our county, you know, we're involved with a lot of the very conservative pro-life activity, tactical civics. We've got tactical civics. We got the like the Tea Party. And what happens is we have people from all over. From the blue states, like you're in Minnesota, wanting to move up here. But, boy, it used to be there would be a house would go on the market, and that house would be on the market for, you know, sometimes months. Now, house seems like when a house goes on the market, it's only on for hours. There's so many people wanting to move from the blue states up here to Ohio, you know, being a red state.
Yeah. I really have a hard time dealing with being in Minnesota because it's the insanity never ends here.
Yeah, you've got one lunatic of a governor, haven't you?
Yeah. I just need to get out of here as soon as I can. Either go back to southern Wisconsin or somewhere else. But, it would be fun to work with you guys and help you out with mailings and all that stuff. That's a church.
We always have more work than we have people. So if you make it up here, we'll put you to work.
Okay. Maybe I'll call you during the week and maybe somebody can help me out with finding a place to live. Then I'd move down there.
Well, we could try that.
Okay.
All righty. Well, God bless you. And thanks for calling.
Thank you.
You too. Thanks for yours. Oh, have a blessed 4th of July. Alrighty. Very good. Those are two very nice ladies, huh?
Yes, they were.
Okay. Well, here's one that's not so nice. Do you know who she is? Representative LaMonica McLeaver. And she's a Democrat from New Jersey. A member of Congress facing multiple criminal counts for impeding federal law enforcement officers, interfering with their duties, and assaulting them with her violent confrontations at the Immigration and Customs Enforcement detention faculty. She's pleaded not guilty. Well, that's going to be a hard one because it's been showed on television about a million times, huh? And you know, where she's body slamming. She probably could have got it away if it had just been male ICE officers. But she body slammed a female officer, which is about half her size. So it's going to be harder to prove. Who else do we have?
We have Lynn in Minnesota now.
Let's go out to Minnesota. All these wonderful ladies calling tonight. Hey, Lynn, you're in the air.
Hello, Ernie. How are you doing tonight?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing fine. We were cut off last night, too, and I did try calling there. Yeah, we were cut off here last night in Minnesota also, so we weren't able to hear you.
All righty.
Two things to tell you. One, I agree with Wendy. I think you have probably one of the best teachers of the Bible I know, and I totally agree with her. And two, we would also like to move down there, too, and I'd love to be in your church.
Well, we'd love to have you. It's people like you and the ladies as called here earlier. Yeah, we can't get enough wonderful Christian ladies. And you know, today with like these feminists out there that squat, that boy, I'm going to tell you, that makes you ladies so much more desirable than nowadays.
Yeah, we'd love to be down there helping you out and doing stuff. You have a wonderful ministry, and I would love to be in your church every week, and I would love to be able to volunteer to do work, anything that I can down there.
So well, we sure have plenty to do there in Minnesota, I can't believe, you got that governor there. I mean, how did this state become so liberal, so communist?
It is awful here. Little pockets of people. Well, it seems like they keep saying it's a little pockets of people, but it's all over. That's my daughter. We listen to you every night. She comes so we can listen to you, too.
Well, God bless you. Thank you so much for that. I feel honored to have folks like you.
Yeah. So I look forward to meeting you. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Well, I look forward to meeting you because we will call you. We want to come down and check out housing and so on. And so I did want to tell you, the one thing that I've said to my friends, is what you say every night is about a million people will die tonight. And, that really perks up everybody's ears because it really makes you think about it. But you have the most tender heart, and I know that people sometimes say you're rough, but you have the most tender heart, and we just all love you. I mean, my group, when I talk about you, I can't wait to get down there and just meet you anyway, and all of us that can come down. But we're going to be looking for housing down there, so I'll let you go. I'm not trying to take up your time, but I wanted to be sure if I was one of those million people who died tonight, I know I'm going to heaven, but I wanted to tell you that before I went.
That's the most important thing. When you make it up here, bring your daughter and I'll take both of you out to dinner. How's that?
Well, how about we take you out? You are so willing to take everybody else out. How about us taking you out for one? That's what we'd like to do.
All righty.
Okay, and I will let you go, and won't take up your time, but thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. God bless you. All right, yeah, it's really nice. All these wonderful ladies calling tonight. Okay.
Well, I'm gonna break the cycle a little. We got Randy in San Diego.
Okay, we're going to go out to Randy. Randy ain't no lady. Hey, Randy, you're in the air.
Yeah, I'm a man, Ernie. How you doing, Pastor Ernie? God bless you.
I'm doing okay, Randy. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm thankful and grateful. Linda Brown and I, she's 76, the one with the broken shoulder, needs prayer. But we sent you a gift of Doers of the Word. I told you we'd send it. We sent it Monday. It was 200, 100 apiece from San Diego.
Well, thank you so much.
It was mailed Monday. And you were cut off yesterday. We listened to you every day. And you were off for about 3 minutes. And then toward the end of your show, you were cut off again. When the pilot was on, I was listening to every word, and I always known that they were spreading something in the air because I got asthma and COPD, and I'm going to pulmonary doctor tomorrow, UCSD hospital. So yeah, I understand that. And I had a question: what about ACLJ and the judges? What do you think of ACLJ?
They're good. Those are good people.
That's what I thought too, and they're helping the people. So what happened with the pilot and that and being blocked? That seems to be all over the country. What can we do about that?
Say that again. I didn't hear all you what you said. Say that again.
It seems like a lot of places all over the country got blocked out when you were preaching.
Yeah, well, this is
what
why,
can you do?
Well, Style, the board operator, he's taking a note. He'll be taking notes of this. So far, New York, Minnesota, now San Diego. And we have to turn that in to those that can see if they can run this down and find out what, you know, who's behind that. I know that, you know, we've had these groups for years trying to get us off the air with all different type of tactics. And, you know, sometimes there's things that'll happen that you can't hear, but somehow they know, they find a way to even get through to me through my headset here with little messages and little weird sayings and that. Strange things have been happening lately, like, as you know, what happened on the 23rd of May when Chaplain McTernan, Pastor Hal, and myself, all three came under attack where it looked like we all three were having heart attacks at the same time. It was, now that's, you know, that could be a spiritual thing, or that too may be a part of the deep state. I know that the military can do that. And so also right. we've had things like recently, Style could tell you, he probably never saw anything like what happened in the studio where you have this high-pitched noise coming out of what appeared to be coming out of me, okay?
Wow.
But then, Style, have you ever seen anything like that before with anybody else?
No, that was the first and last time.
Yeah, and
I remember that. I was listening to you that night. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, all the engineers have been trying to figure that out. But these things always happen to us. Like, you know, it's... you just mentioned the ACLJ. They're the only other ones that I know of where they came after. They came after them. Jay Sekulow. Jay Sekulow actually defended me before in a Supreme Court case some years ago, pro-life case. But now I know they came after him. But mostly, if you asked all of these station board ops, they all say it only happens when you're on the air. Okay. It's always us that they're going after. So, anyhow, keep us in prayer.
Can they send out a stronger signal, more signal, stronger for the antenna to receive it?
Oh no, we're
how about
we're,
that?
No, you're on different. We're on different stations all over. All the different stations have their own signals. Okay, but they are doing. They are doing some things that helps a lot, but I can't tell you what that is because I don't want the opposition knowing. But,
correct. I understand that. Yeah, keep it classified.
Yeah. So, yeah, we've had, listen, they've actually been come to the radio station and black helicopters while I've been on the air and for 15, 20 minutes just hovered over my car, you know, where I could look out the window 30 feet away and watching them with a black helicopter hovering over my car looking at me through the glass. I've had a lot of different experiences, believe me, over the years on the air. We had what is five different times we had Muslims pull up in a stretch limousine and with all of them wearing dark sunglasses, and just 15 minutes before I go off the air, they pull up and they sit and they stare. When I open the windows and they stare at me through the window until I'm off the air. And they did that five different times. And when I would get up to go out there to confront them, they'd take off real fast. But anyhow, that's what's happening there. All right, who do we have next, Style?
We have Liz in Connecticut.
Let's go out to Connecticut with Liz. Hey, Liz.
Hello, Pastor Ernie. This is Liz in Connecticut. I listen to you every night, and I'm a supporter of the ministry. And I thank you for all the good advice, and I thank you for encouraging your listeners to stay stay waiting for Jesus Christ to come back.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I have a question, Pastor Ernie. We are also looking, my family and I are also looking to move out of this state, Connecticut. We've been here for 35 years, and we want to relocate. We hear so many things about your area. I have two questions. Do you have the name of a church that is similar to yours, Doers of the Word Baptist Church in Connecticut, one that you can recommend we attend until we are able to move out of the area?
No, I don't, but I can tell you this. If you can't find one unregistered, we're an actual New Testament church. We're not a 501c3. We're,
right.
We hold mm-hmm. strictly to the Bible. If you can't find one, see, in this area up here, you know, we used to be the only one that I knew of going back about 30 years ago, but today there's about 30 others, unregistered churches in the area here now. And so, but if you can't find one, you could start one. All you need to do is get a couple families together mm-hmm. and then ask, you know, to look for a pastor that would come.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Someone and start your own church. If you can't find one, you need to start one.
Your own.
Yeah.
Okay, and another thing. Are you located in Independence, Ohio? Like if we wanted to start looking for housing, I'm a realtor, so I know how to navigate the real estate. But are you in the town of, is your church in Independence, Ohio?
No. The church I pastor is in Newberry, Ohio, in Geauga County. Independence is where the radio station is. That's where I broadcast.
It always says you're broadcasting from Independence, Ohio.
Yep, top of the hill.
Okay. All right, thank you so much, and God bless you, and have a happy holidays, you and your wonderful family, and God bless you. And I pray a lot for your ministry, and thank you for all the hard work.
Well, thank you, and God bless you. Boy, it's wonderful, all you wonderful ladies tonight. Wow. Okay, who do we have next out there, Style?
We're open right now. I do want to tag something on to that last caller, though, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
And I encourage everyone at home listening who uses the internet to do this. 501c3s are public documents. So if you're curious about a church in your area or someone invites you to a church and you're not sure about it, I encourage anyone to either go online and look up the status, if it is a 501c3 or not. It'll show you right there. Or you can even call your state and have them explain to you if that certain establishment is registered as a 501c3. I've been invited to many churches, and I won't go to a 501c3 for obvious reasons, and that's always been a helpful tool for me.
Well, see, one of the problems is that they become 501c3 out of ignorance. They don't know it, and it's usually not the pastor's fault. It's usually what happens. They'll have either a lawyer or an accountant in the church that does this, and but sometimes it's the pastor too. Now, we don't want people to think that if you're not a 501c3 that the pastor's not saved or whatever. Right. I know some good men, some good pastors, friends of mine, that they pastor a 501c3. But folks, you know, the Biblical Law Association can show you how to undo that, how to get out from under the 501c3. So today they're not really they haven't really been trying to push it on people the threats in the past where so many of these pastors used that to try to justify not having the courage to do the right thing, to stand up. And they would say, well, we'd lose our 501c3 status if we stand up. I knew several pastors, and I told them, I said, I'm ashamed of you guys. I'm ashamed of you. You fear Caesar more than you do God, okay? But here, again, like I said, it's, you know, there are people say, could you still be in a 501c3 and be saved? Yeah, you can be saved at being a 501c3. But in reality, if you come down to it, you're not a church. Because Christ and Christ alone is the head of the church. If you're a 501c3, you've entered into a contract with the state, and you yourself being in that contract have agreed with the state that the state is your head, not Christ. And so if Christ isn't your head, you're not a church, you're not a body, right?
Well, and I think a lot of the time, too, you know, if you're going to a church and you have a suspicion that, you know, maybe it's not the most up and up on the back end of it, you can usually tell, I think, a lot of the times, too, you know, if they're selling merchandise or having a coffee distributor in the main lobby, you can tell that the 501c3 is doing more than helping the church, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, besides that, they'll say, well, that you to be tax exempt. All churches, actual New Testament churches, are not only exempt, they're tax immune.
Yep.
Okay, and so you don't have to be a 501c3 to be tax immune. Okay. They do make it difficult because the state likes to control. They want to control you, okay? And we are the body of Christ, not the body of Caesar, huh?
Amen.
Alrighty, we'll be back right after this.
This may be your final warning. No one can really tell. But there really is a heaven, and there really is a hell. You're on your way to Judgment Day, and you're running out of time. But all I'm doing now is waiting for my ride. All I'm doing now is waiting for my ride. I'm waiting for my Lord. He's gonna split that eastern sky. So was the cross of Calvary. Because I gave my heart to him, he's coming back for me. And yes, I have a mansion waiting for me when I die. And all I'm doing now is waiting for my ride. And now is waiting for my ride. I'm waiting for my Lord. He's gonna split that eastern sky. Any day I'm gonna fly away and leave this world behind. All I'm doing now is waiting for my ride. Devil is for real, but now he's just about to see. All heaven bow to Jesus Christ and crown him King of Kings. When you see me looking at the clouds, you shouldn't be surprised. 'Cause all I'm doing now is waiting for my ride. All I'm doing now is waiting for my ride. I'm waiting for my Lord. He's gonna split that eastern sky. Any day I'm gonna fly away and leave this world behind. Waiting for my ride. is waiting for my ride.
He's not waiting anymore. That's Danny Ray, my old buddy Danny Ray. He went home to be with the Lord a couple of years ago. And what a very, very talented. He wrote about 300 songs over the years. And in fact, him and I sang a number of songs together. But he's not waiting anymore. Either is Jimmy Swaggart. Jimmy Swaggart, I guess, went home to be with the Lord today. And he was 90 years old, Jimmy Swaggart. Now, he came to Cleveland one time, and I know, you know, what's happened with him. He came to Cleveland one time, and I came out, and that was before his fall. But if there's anything that could take down a good man, it's a bad woman, and vice versa. And that's what happened, you know, with him. There was he had a situation. I don't want to really get into all that situation, but you know, I didn't probably. Well, mostly on doctrine, you know, Jimmy Swaggart was pretty much where, you know, with the Bible on doctrine. You know, we weren't. You know, he was Pentecostal and we're fundamentalist Baptists, so we weren't really together on everything. But his preaching, he did preach against sin. I mean, he really did, and that was. Good. And when I went out to see him, when he came to the, I believe it was the Coliseum, I was there, and it was a strange thing, because he was up on a stage, and I was in maybe the second, or first or second row, I can't remember, not far from the stage, and he turned, and he looked at me, and he pointed at me, and one of his aides came over, and he said something to the aide, and pointed at me there. And I thought, what's he doing here? And he sent out a whole stack of pro-life bumper stickers, a whole stack of pro-life, like he had brought those on purpose for that. And that was really an amazing thing. And so, that, you know, the aide said, you know, yeah, he knows all about your radio program and what we do here. So he was very, very, very pro-life. Jimmy Swaggart was a very pro-life activist. We have Pastor Hal here. Pastor Hal, you're in the air.
Yeah, how you doing tonight?
It's going okay. We're trying to figure out who what was or what it was trying to take us down last night. But did you hear all the wonderful ladies calling in tonight?
Yeah, that was really good. You know, that one lady was saying that you want to know what to do until the Lord comes back again, and how you wait on him and what you're supposed to do. And the Bible says to occupy until he comes. And the best thing you could do as a Christian to wait till the Lord comes is tell others about him, how to get saved, and lead people to Christ, because that's why God keeps you here after you get saved. He wants to use you to lead others out of the darkness and vanity that they're living in and bring them to the light of life. The Bible says, in Christ was the light of the world. You know, Jesus is the light of the world, and we're supposed to let our light shine before men that we can draw people to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Tonight, you know,
Hal, let me jump in for a minute. The one lady asked for tracks. She wants us, she's going to write and send us, and you're the guy that's in charge of all those tracks out there. We have a lot of tracks. I mean, we have a lot of tracks. We pass out hundreds of thousands of tracks that we pass out over the years. So when she comes, I'll let you put together a good, good assortment of those tracks to send to her. How's that?
Yeah, that sounds good. I stopped at the Sheets gas station tonight and went in there and got a cup of coffee. And while I was sitting there, when I got the coffee, the guy at the counter, I gave him a track, a chick track. A chick track is a gospel track that has different circumstances, going on, but it shows how people, one way or the other, come to Christ as their Savior and get saved. And they, it has the gospel, the King James Bible scriptures in there, and a plan of salvation in the back. They're excellent soul-winning tracks. I gave one to the guy that gave me the coffee, and I went and sat down. 5 minutes later, he comes over, and he says, you got any more of these? And I said, yeah. And he said, everybody here wants some. You know, they got some a couple of nights ago before, when I stopped there. and now they all want them. So I had to go out to the car and get a whole big stack of Chick gospel tracks, and every employee in that Sheets gas station was reading those tracks when they weren't waiting on somebody. And boy, I tell you what, it was what a joy, you know, knowing that these people were just really thirsty for the Word of God, and some of them had have gotten saved in the reading those tracks, and other Christians edified. But I'll tell you what, that's what every Christian should be doing. It's actually fun.
You know what, Hal, what happens is every now and then I'll hand, you know, a track, if I'm, at the restaurant, or if I'm going through, like you say, at the cash register, and I say, let me give you this, I won't hold up a line or anything, but every now and then I'll run into somebody out there, even when I take my car in to get it fixed or whatever, and I'll hand them a track, and they'll say, I don't need that, I'm saved. And so then I say, well, then you have something to hand out, right? And you know what they always say? No. And you know what I always tell them, Hal? You're supposed to have these tracks. You're supposed to be witnessing the gospel out there, and the tracks are the best way to do it. So you should have some tracks, shouldn't you? And you know what they always say? I guess I should, yeah. And I leave them with a few, and I leave them with a message. I mean, that's not a suggestion. I mean, is the Great Commission, is that a suggestion or is that a command?
Oh, that's a command. You know, if somebody just hands out three tracts a day, that's over 1,000 people a year they could reach for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ to get rewards, it would be amazing to see thousands of people in heaven that got saved reading gospel tracts that you gave them over, you know, the time that you were here and saved and everything. I mean, what greater joy could you have for all eternity than to know there's people in heaven because you took Christ to them?
Well, just the smiley tracts, just the smiley tracts alone, I believe we handed over 100,000 out.
Yeah, those are good, too. They got the, it's all King James Scripture and has the plan of salvation in there, a sinner's prayer. So that's great.
And those are people really seem to like those. They gravitate. So that's what you do, folks out there, while you're waiting for the Lord's return, is to... And, you know, there's something happening out there, too. You know, we're talking about the communists are urging the Democrats to boycott the 4th of July. But we got to tell you, too, there's a lot of chatter out there. And if I were people myself, I would avoid any large crowds. I would avoid any large crowds, like air shows or, especially where they're going to have fireworks, because all the chatter is out there. This has been planned for a long time. We've covered this several times, that they want to use some. The plan is that they're going to use some biological warfare on people during the 4th of July. They're going to use canisters with aerosol, biological germs in them. And these canisters is what they've been saying. And folks, again, Dr. David Martin, who does a lot of research, he's been on top of this. And we've been telling you for about the last six or eight weeks, this actually was in planning back during George Bush, when George Bush was in office. And so when that Tom Ridge, his name was on one of the government, the official papers, talking about this on July 4th of 2025. And that's what they were planning on doing, wherever you would have large groups using, as the fireworks went off, setting off these canisters of biologicals. So I myself going to avoid any large crowds. But, you know, Hal, again, just today, just watching how many accidents, how many people on the highways have died just today, and just leaving for the 4th of July, just people traveling for the 4th of July weekend to go with family get-togethers and so on and so forth. That's, you know, like you said, every night at this time tomorrow, at this very time tomorrow, a million people that's in the world right now won't be here. They will. How many of them do you think, Hal, are planning on dying?
Probably none of them, unless they're in the hospital, you know, on a machine or something.
It's not their call. And dying is not a tragedy. Everybody's going to die, but to die in your sin, can you undo that?
No.
No, there's no...
The only thing you can undo it is get them saved before they die.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's... Yeah, that's preventing it. Not undoing it, it's preventing it, but... and so God made it easy. I mean, he made it very, very easy, didn't he?
Right.
So tell the folks how they can do that.
Well, it's real simple. You know, God loves you, but he hates your sin. God wants you to come to heaven, but he says your sins cannot come with you. And the only thing that can wash away your sins is the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what took place on Calvary's cross. You see, God knew you couldn't save yourself. If you could quit sinning right now and never sin again to the day you died, just the sins you've already done would be enough to keep you out of heaven. You know, they say there's about, you know, you take about 8 billion people, and if every one of them went to heaven with just one sin that hasn't been washed away, you'd have 8 billion sins in heaven. It wouldn't be heaven very long. And the thing is that when Jesus died on that cross, God was allowing him to transfer every sin you've ever done onto his son Jesus, so that his righteous demands for that sin to get paid for was met, but not by you, but by his son, Jesus Christ, who was perfect and without sin. He was God in the flesh, reconciling the world unto himself. And right before he died, he said, "It is finished." That "it" means all the work necessary for you and me to go to heaven has been accomplished by Jesus Christ on that cross and accepted by God the Father. And so when he said it is finished, that meant he's telling you that God accepted what he did for you and me on that cross as payment in full for every sin we have ever done. But that payment don't become ours automatically. John 1:12 said, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God." And Luke 13:3 says, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Repentance simply means admitting to God something he knows already anyway. And that's that without Jesus Christ in our heart, we're lost and on our road to hell, and that we need Jesus to come into our heart. The Bible says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood." You see, it's the blood of Jesus Christ that washes us from sin and makes us new creatures in Christ, saves our soul from hell. The blood of Christ. It's not your church membership. At the truck stop the other day, a couple came by. They were truckers, and they were married. And the guy told me that he got out of the Catholic Church and got into the Baptist Church. And he got baptized, and that was the answer they gave me. And my question, you know, if you died today, do you know if you'd go to heaven or hell? And I told the guy, well, you know, it was good you got out of the Catholic Church and got into a Baptist church, because you probably hear more scripture in the Baptist church. But you could be a member of every church in town and die and go to hell with your membership cards, because being a Baptist, a Methodist, a Presbyterian, or whatever, is not going to wash away one sin. What washes away your sins, again, is the blood of Christ. And so I said, what you need to do is go to Calvary and ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you, being sorry about the fact that you're a sinner. And so he stood right there in the hallway at the truck stop right in front of the chapel there, and he prayed and he asked Jesus Christ to come into his heart as a Savior. And boy, I tell you what, you could see a change in him, the joy there, you know, just knowing that he doesn't have to work for his salvation anymore. Which is what he thought he'd have to do. But, you know, him and his wife, I guess his wife was already saved, and but didn't know how to present it to him. And, well, they were a happy couple. I gave him free King James Bibles, large print Bibles to take with him in the truck and everything. And the Bible says in Luke 15:10, all the angels in heaven are rejoicing over one sinner that repents. You couldn't do anything more important with your life. If you're a Christian and you're not leading souls to Christ, boy, are you robbing yourself, because there's nothing more important you could possibly do. You could get up, make all the money George Soros has or Howard Hughes had and everything, and all that money is going to get burned up and be worthless someday. But listen, any soul you lead to Jesus is going to be shining like a light in heaven someday. And the Bible says it's a free gift. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that's saved from hell through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Jesus did all the work for your salvation, period. Now, whether you go to heaven or hell depends on what you do with that finished payment that Jesus paid for you, not what you do for him, except reach out and receive that payment and by faith and just thank and praise him for it. And so that's what gets you to heaven. And Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's how you receive that payment. If you believe in your heart Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to save your soul, then you pray and you ask him to come into your heart and give to you that payment, he'll do it. He hears me talking to you right now. God knows what's going through your mind and through your heart this very moment. And right now that he's knocking at the door of your heart, and he's asking you if you will open up that door and let him come in and give you that salvation. He's not going to force his way in. If you want to die and go to hell, he'll let you do it. He doesn't want you to, but he'll let you do it. He's not going to force you to get saved from hell, but he did everything in the world for you to keep that from happening if you come to him in repentance and faith, asking him to save you. So my job as a preacher is to lead you to Christ right now tonight if you're not saved. And if you want to say a simple prayer, we can pray together, because a lot of people say, "Pastor Hal, I'm not sure how to pray or how to talk to God." Well, it's real simple. It's like talking to anybody else. But let me lead you in a simple prayer of faith. But even though we're praying together, it's directly between you and God, because only you can open up the door of your heart and let Jesus come in. And right now, he's knocking at the door of your heart. Revelation 3:20, I think it is, says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him." So let's pray. Dear God, follow me in prayer and mean it with all your heart. Dear God, I confess unto you that I've sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. And Lord, I believe you died on that cross and shed your precious blood to wash away my sins. And Lord, right now, right here and now, I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart, forgive me of all my sins, and save my soul from hell, believing you died on that cross and shed your blood for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, how do you know you're going to go to heaven? The Apostle John spoke to people that received Christ just like you just did, simple childlike faith. And John said, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." Now, when he said, "These things have I written unto you that believe on," that meant more than academically believe in your head. That meant that you put your faith in and asked him to save you, which you just did in that prayer.
1 minute, Al. 1 minute.
That you may know. That means not just think it, wish it, or hope for it, but know, 100% certain, that you have. That's present tense right now. And you always will have it. Nobody can take it away from you. What do you have? Eternal life. That's heaven. So according to God's promise and your prayer, if you died tonight, you'd go straight to heaven. If I had a massive heart attack right now, my soul would be with Jesus before my body even hit the floor. As the Apostle Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that's only for born-again Christians. And remember one thing else. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." He's the only way to heaven. And now that you have him as your Savior, you're going to be there, and I'll see you there. God bless.
All right, very good. So apparently you don't believe in universal salvation.
No, not at all.
No. Well, good news for you. Either did God. We're at that time where we come to every night this time. Thanks for being here. I want to thank for all you folks for calling and supporting, especially all you ladies tonight. And so we say good night. Say good night.
Good night.
And then we say, God bless. And God then we bless. Say, always, 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 keep fighting the fight. 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 Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.